Welcome back to the Buffalo Bread Podcast. It's Saturday. Tomorrow, the Buffalo Bills face off at home, the home opener and the season opener, against the Arizona Cardinals. An uncommon opponent who there has been recent history. The Bills have a little bit of bad blood based on the last meeting. Dan, what are you thinking about this matchup? How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And I am thinking a couple of things off the top of my head. Whenever we pregame on the pod for a game that the Bills should win handily, it inevitably turns into a stupid Bills game. One of just the dumbest games you could possibly imagine. That Jacksonville game, where we will forever be one of the three wins that Urban Meyer recorded as a head coach. The Giants game, Daboll's return. The Minnesota Vikings game, where Justin Jefferson made that ridiculous catch. The list goes on and on. The Denver Broncos game last season, which we, of course, can't forget. The Bills, JJ, have a history of playing down to their opponent. We've seen it time and time again. My major concern here is that we have a very beatable opponent coming into Highmark in week one with regard to preparation for this game, how the rosters stack up. Inevitably, though, I can't help but shirk the feeling that something wild is going to happen that's going to make this game way closer than it needs to be. So I'm in a very common place as a Bills fan. I'm living with dread, fear, and excitement because we get meaningful football back.
Yeah, I think just this excitement of a season starting, I think, is everywhere in Bills Mafia. But the trepidation and worry of, you know, this team underperforming the lofty expectations that we've come to expect year over year is out there, too. I mean, just in the circles I run in and the Bills fans I know, there's a lot of, I don't know what this season is going to be. I'm not going to get too high or get my hopes up too high because the change, the turnover, the youth movement, it's a lot to fit into one season for me to expect, you know, repeat amazing performances. And I think there's also the general, I think in Bills Mafia, there's the general worn down nature of the way the team has exited is that there's huge expectations every year. And then every year they basically fall short in the divisional round. So I feel like maybe this is a point in time and the team with so much turnover maybe feeling this as well, where, okay, something's got to change. Are we going to be bad for a bit? Or is this the way that the Bills need to move forward to get over that proverbial hump that everyone always mentions? And I agree, like every Bills game that we talk about where we're like, oh, slam dunk. There's no way that an inferior opponent can walk into Highmark Stadium and win this tends to get weird.
Yeah, so let's talk about why this game could get weird, JJ, right off the jump. The Cardinals, on paper, have a lot of deficits compared to this Buffalo Bills roster, even with the aforementioned turnover that you talk about. However, the Cardinals are really, really good at the one thing that it looks like the Bills are going to be really, really bad at least on defense, and that is the rush game. So last year, JJ, the Cardinals finished 4-13. Overall defensive metrics were not great. Even though after Kyler Murray returned, this was a top 10 offense, passing and rushing, and overall efficiency. They never quite got the passing game going for a couple of reasons that we'll talk about later on when we really get into keys to the game. But one of the things they absolutely nailed was their rush scheme. They were third, JJ, in offensive rushing efficiency, behind the Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers. This is a unit you would not have expected that out of. When you look at that roster last year and this year, top to bottom across the offensive line, not a lot of known names on there. But when you start breaking down the film, you take a look at the schemes that they're running, they are literally utilizing all 11 guys on the field at the same time in this rushing game, including their wide receivers that are experts in sealing off opposing DBs that look to get their run fits off the edge and stymie this Arizona Cardinals run game. There are a lot of things that the Cardinals can't do well enough to beat the Bills, but JJ, this is one of those things. And if they choose to stick to the run, and if they choose to pound that nickel heavy type of format that the Bills like to call their defensive plays in, they could really slow this game down. They could take the air out of the ball. They could keep Josh off the field, which in my mind might actually spur on some urgency for this Bills offense. And it could go one of two ways. Either we get super hyped up Josh, who feels like he's in the fourth quarter every minute of the game and throws three picks like he did last year against the Jets, or this new scheme and the alleviation of pressure that Joe Brady's looking to take off of Josh Allen via the run game kicks in as well. But JJ, if I'm the Arizona Cardinals and I want to go up against this Buffalo Bills unit at home week one and I want to make a statement, I am pounding the rock relentlessly. And I'm making them prove that they can stop it.
Well, and I think you have a great point, which is when we've seen the Bills play down to teams that we would consider not as good in roster or team build or coordinators or whatever it might be, it's usually they're being out physical at the point of attack on both sides of the line. And so if they are getting beat up on defense by the Cardinals running the ball, and James Conner, who's sort of an amazing story and a very, very solid, solid, unspectacular rusher. I think that, you know, that could spell trouble for the Bills, because if the Bills are not the ones who set that physical tone, they tend to never be able to capture it throughout a game. It's not often that they come into a game and, you know, it's a story of two halves where they're being out physical the whole time, and sometimes they pull it out by finessing and, you know, Josh Allen doing some Superman type stuff in the second half or the fourth quarter, that they pull out those games. But it's weird, because in the McDermott era, this isn't a team that seems to be able to change its tone throughout the course of a game. And I don't know that there's many NFL teams that do. I think it's a thing that you kind of establish or you don't. So I worry about that as well. I think too, one of the things that the Buffalo Bills under McDermott and with this defense and with Bobby Babich as a first-time coordinator will have to see is how the Bills handle a mobile quarterback. They've struggled with this in the past. They struggle with this with Patrick Mahomes, who I wouldn't even consider really a dual-threat quarterback. He's sort of a pocket passer who can move a bit better than average. But Kyler Murray has a real threat with his legs and is incredibly evasive. I think that he's small enough that if you get hands on him, you get him down, but he does not let many people touch him.
And JJ, that's an awesome segue, I think, into keys to the game. And I want to start with the Bills D, because this to me is the unit that in the face of all the high-profile offensive room transition we've seen this offseason with the departure of Mitch Morse, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, everyone's been focused on what the offense is going to look like. But this defense, JJ, has gone under a bit of transformation in and of itself. And of the two units, it's also probably the most banged up right now. We know what the situation at safety is. Damar Hamlin going to get his first start. Great story, absolutely. But not, I think, the way the Bills scripted it at the beginning of the offseason when they signed Mike Edwards and they extended Taylor Rapp. Matt Milano, we all know, is out. Dewan Smoot shows up on the injury report as a result of a practice injury that he suffered. And then all of a sudden, you take a look around this Bills defense and some of the pieces that they were counting on aren't going to be here for week one. So it'll be interesting to see what Babich is going to do. So you bring up a really good point about Kyler Murray being a mobile quarterback. And this is a dude who loves to extend the pocket, get out of the pocket, get creative, and make things happen. One of the things that Kyler Murray is really susceptible to is straight up four-man pressure. If you blitz Kyler Murray over the past two seasons, he tends to kill you for a lot of different reasons. One is that mobility that you talked about. Two, a lot of blitz packages that teams run against Murray tend to come off the edges, and he's got such good mobility to scoot around those dime looks, those cornerback blitzes, linebackers coming off the edge. It frees him up and puts him in exactly the spot he wants to be. Against the blitz, he had a 112 passer rating last season. When he faced four-man pressure, organic pressure, 40-point difference in the negative territory, and he was a below-average passer. It's going to be key for the Bills, JJ, not just to get organic pressure, but get pressure in the right location. Listen, we can make a lot of short jokes if we want to, but the reality is Kyler Murray is 5'10". And with his cleats and really thick socks on. He is a short quarterback, and he is very susceptible to pocket compression up the middle. If the Bills, I'm not even talking about sacking Kyler Murray. If the Bills are able to get pressure up the middle with Jones and with Oliver and whoever they have on the edge, be it Epineza, be it Rousseau, be it Von Miller in certain situations, if they maintain rush lane integrity and they compress the pocket on all sides, that is where Kyler Murray is susceptible to making mistakes, but also being very ineffective as a QB. So JJ, for me, that is point number one. And I don't expect that the Bills are going to roll out a lot of blitz packages. It really hasn't been their thing under McDermott. I don't see Babich really being a sea change when it comes to that. So the Bills' MO at the defensive line with four-man rushes should do the trick as long as they're maintaining rush lane integrity.
Well, and I think that that is something, again, you know, you mentioned the change in defensive coordinator that I also brought up earlier in the pod. That is something that is going to be very telling, because the Bills will be playing Lamar Jackson in just a few short weeks, and they have proven to be very good at disciplined compression style rushes with just the front four in, you know, in combating a mobile quarterback, somebody who likes to extend the play and get outside the pocket, outside the edges. They do just sort of use the squeeze rush or the mush rush towards the middle. And that hopefully carries through with Bobby Babich running things here, because I think that when you get into trouble against quarterbacks like Kyler Murray, like Lamar Jackson, like Anthony Richardson, some others that they'll see down the road, it's when you start to do really complex twists and stunts and you create strange rifts in the middle of the line where there might be a gap and you're stretching out the guards and tackles, and that may be a benefit to your linebackers if you have a blitz call on or something like that, but it's also a benefit to a quarterback who's shifty enough. And we see it all the time with Josh Allen as our quarterback and the Bills, right? Like, if teams do pretty complicated stunts and things and create voids in the line anywhere, he will make them pay. And so I think that that's something that will be interesting. And kind of as a point with, you mentioned him extending the plays and things like that. Kyler Murray is also has not been a super successful downfield passer the last couple of seasons. And that, I think, was one of his calling cards specifically early in his career. And so I'm sure that it's the kind of thing he wants to come back around to. But he really has been, you know, extend the play, hit your first read, try to distribute the ball, escape the rush, you know, distribute the ball to somebody in a void that's created as you extend the play. Those sorts of things is how he's doing. He's a bit of a check down Charlie. And so I really think that the Bills, they need those front four, as you mentioned, to bring it and stay disciplined. But then they also need Dorian Williams. I think Dorian Williams will have a very good game against the run, because I think that's where he's best. But I really worry about play action and extended plays, because the Cardinals have Trey McBride, who's one of the best young, you know, tight ends in the league, and he can find some space. He'll find places in soft coverage, especially in the zone that the Bills like to run. If a play is extended, he'll find a spot, sit down, and give Murray that check down outlet.
Yeah, man, totally agree. And Murray's going to be looking for that. And it's interesting, because his decline as a downfield passer coincided with two things, I think. The departure of DeAndre Hopkins, who Bills fans will always loathe for the Hail Murray. But also, the scheme that Cliff Kingsbury wanted to run was very much so short area yardage passing. There wasn't a lot of pre-snap motion. There wasn't a lot of creativity in the sets. Like, I don't know how Cliff Kingsbury keeps getting jobs. Everyone's like, yeah, Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels in Washington, it's a match made in heaven. I'm like, is it? Daniels wants to push the ball downfield, and Cliff Kingsbury schemes up anything but doing that. So I think a couple of things. The scheme looks and the personnel were on a downward trajectory as this decline in Murray's downfield game began. Enter Marvin Harrison Jr., who was a real X factor in this game. But he's got the tools, he's got the speed, he's got the route running ability, the attack at the point of catch ability, where this could be exactly what the Cardinals need to remedy that downfield ineptitude that they've experienced over the last two seasons. And JJ, based on where the safety room is at right now with Taylor Rapp and DeMar Hamlin, you've got to imagine that the Cardinals are going to pound the rock, force the Bills to condense, and then they're going to want to take their shots against Marvin Harrison and really test the roof on this defense as well.
Well, I think that also, you know, they're going to want to test the roof, but they can't test the roof when the Bills are sitting in a you know, center field closed look or a center field open look, which is what they usually do. Because Kyler Murray is not an out, he does not thrive in passing down the middle of the field because of the issues of being a shorter quarterback. It's harder for him to see it. He likes to get out on the fringes and throw down the sidelines. And that's the way the Bills defense has been built since Sean McDermott came into town, has been to really shut down those sidelines and force teams to hit things between the hashes in the middle of the field, downfield, where Sean McDermott's safeties like to eat. You know, that's a good spot for them, even when they're in split coverages. Oftentimes he coaches them to have a good sense of what's happening in the backfield, to get to where the ball's going to be, to help, you know, corners who are in coverage in that area, or linebackers who are kind of dragging down the seam. And so really, I think that what you bring up is sort of a nightmare scenario where the Bills are struggling so much to stop the run that they have to bring a safety into the box, that they have to use a single deep coverage, because then it's Kyler Murray's, you know, that's his most ideal situation, is that he starts to escape the pocket a little bit and he starts hitting sideline balls deep. And I don't think there's a single player on the field based on the skill set, even though he's not played a single starting snap in a full actual season game. There's not a player on that Bills team who has the skill set or physicality or athleticism to cover Marvin Harrison one-on-one. There just isn't.
No. And I would put Rasul Douglas in there as well, as good as he is, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's not a person. Yeah.
No. Marvin Harrison Jr., you hope this is not a coming out party for him. But JJ, I think the Cardinals are going to try to force the Bills into that nightmare scenario. The Buffalo Bills, dude, they play nickel against 12 personnel and three tight end personnel last season at a 93.4% rate last year, which is heads and tails the highest in the league. Like, they are stubborn to this point. But because they've had Terrell Bernard, because they had Tremaine Edmonds before him, because they've had the luxury of Matt Milano, though not over the past two seasons, they can do this kind of stuff. It feels weird to say it, but the way the Arizona Cardinals want to run the ball is so uniquely tuned to the weaknesses of this defense. I feel like the defensive scheme here is going to be tested very early on. And I think we're going to be looking at a really close game for the first half. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments the Bills are going to make should this nightmare scenario play out early on in the game. But JJ, that's the bad news. You and I think that this Bills defense, just because of the way this Cardinals offense is schemed up, could very well be susceptible to some pretty gnarly stuff. On the flip side, though, when you take a look at this Bills offense, this revamped, rebuilt Bills offense, JJ, there's a lot to like about this game. And we've talked ad nauseum about the Cardinals' ability to run the ball on this Bills defense. JJ, the Bills are going to have an opportunity to eat there as well. The Arizona Cardinals, by whatever metric you want to take, DVOA, efficiency, success rate, were the worst, or at best, third worst team when it came to defending opposing teams against the run last season. And JJ, how bad was it? They allowed a league worst 4.87 adjusted line yards against running backs and traditional run sets. And at the second level, because of the lightness of the linebacker core, they allowed another almost yard and a half. So put it this way, every time a team wanted to run the ball against the Cardinals, they were almost guaranteed 6 yards right off the pop. We know that they have issues with the linebacker core. Zaven Collins, who had been locking that core down for Arizona for a while, has now gotten his contract extension. Congrats to him. But he's also now flipped to edge rusher because of the issues the Cardinals have getting a consistent pass rush there. So JJ, the Buffalo Bills in this revamped offensive line and this Brady, what we think will be run heavy scheme, is going to have a chance to eat against a light, a well-coached but undermanned defensive unit, at least in the run game. And I think that's where the Bills are probably hopefully going to make some hay.
Well, you're absolutely right. One of the worst defenses against the run and one of the worst pass rushes in the league last year, decided to improve that by signing two starting caliber but probably replacement level tackles to the center of their defense, their 4-3 defense, and moving Zaven Collins from linebacker to defensive end. Not to mention they lost BJ Ojulari and Darius Robinson, their rookie, you know, first round pick. Both of them to injury. So like, they were already a bad unit and now they're also an injury depleted unit.
Absolutely, JJ. And that is going to not just play have an effect in the run game. I feel like it's going to have an impact in the passing game as well. So everyone is going to be very interested to see what this Buffalo Bills wide receiver room is going to do against this porous Arizona Cardinals defense. But JJ, there's going to be opportunities that play so well into the scheme we believe Brady wants to run in the passing game, which is utilization of the running backs out of the backfield and utilization of 12 personnel with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox. Last season, JJ, Arizona was 31st in overall DVOA when defending opposing tight ends in the passing game and 29th defending running backs, catching balls out of the backfield. Joe Brady, one of the signatures of his game-to-game play calling style is that he knew exactly what the opposing team's weakness was, and he was going to pound on it. I think this is going to be a coming out party for Dalton Kincaid. This is going to feel like that breakout moment we've been waiting him to have, because as we said on the other side of the ball, there's not a person on the Bills defensive roster that can match up with Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think there's anybody in that safety room, Buda Baker included, or in that linebacker room for Arizona that's going to be able to keep pace with Dalton Kincaid. Add to that, James Cook, granted he's had some drop issues in the preseason. James Cook, Ray Davis out of the backfield. I am feeling good about the Bills' ability to utilize their heavy sets and pass out of those sets.
Not to mention Curtis Samuel lined up in the backfield running wheel routes and things like that. I think that that would track as well with the Arizona Cardinals' deficiency in coverage of being able to pick up people coming out of the backfield. And knowing that that's a way that Brady likes to use Curtis Samuel. So I agree. I'm excited for those. I'm just generally excited because the Bills offensive unit as a whole spent, what, 8 snaps together?
Is something to that effect, yeah. So we haven't really seen, and they haven't really put a lot on film intentionally about what they want to do. We have gotten some nuggets and some kernels based on the formations that they've run, the way they've built this roster and remade it in kind of this ball distribution image that they want Josh Allen to be this point guard for this unit. It's going to be interesting to see it all come together. And JJ, there is literally not a better opponent you could script to have this scheme rolled out in its full usage for the first time. The only thing, and I feel like we have said this year after year after year, that will keep the Bills offense from successfully executing against what could very well be one of the worst defenses in the league when it's all said and done, is going to be themselves. This is an offensive unit that needs to limit mistakes. And yes, Josh, we are talking to you. It is the Arizona Cardinals in week 1. I know you're going to want to take those whole shots down the field. And Arizona, dude, they're going to bait him into it. This is a unit that, despite their ineptitude, was doing a ton of crazy stuff. When you look at their film, they were mimicking a lot of the stuff that we lauded the Bills DBs for doing last season with the way they disguised coverage pre and post snap. Different level of talent, so a different level of efficacy. I'm not saying that they're going to bait Josh into a lot of big mistakes, but they might fool him a couple of times, because we know Josh gets hyped up for week 1, man. He's just so freaking excited to be playing football at this point. We saw it with the Jets last year. Even in that Rams game, he threw 2 picks in that Rams game where the Bills absolutely blew LA out of the water. Like, week 1 is Josh at peak amplitude. And yes, I just want him to remember, this is Arizona. Don't take the bait, man. There's stuff that they can't do. Just focus on the stuff that they can't do. Don't let that disguised coverage or those post and pre-snap moves, don't let it bait you, my friend.
Don't get so thirsty for a Keon Coleman first NFL touchdown that you're like zipping out long bombs into triple coverage just because it looks open for the half second after the snap. Like, that's the thing I'm worried about too, especially if the Cardinals come out and run a bunch and keep Josh Allen off the field. And then when he comes out, he feels pressure to win it all with one throw.
Right. And we've said it before, we'll say it again. There is no such thing as a 20-point touchdown in the NFL. So please play within yourselves, Buffalo Bills. It's Arizona week 1 at home. You have a brutal schedule ahead of you. You literally could not have asked for a better tune-up game against this defense.
Get it done. Just get out of there.
Get it done.
Get out of there healthy. Get it done.
Seriously. All right.
Give the fans something to celebrate.
Absolutely. All right, JJ, let's move on. It's back. prediction sure to go wrong, my friend. Our signature segment, us being wrong, is what everybody shows up and listens to this pod for. And we are back, baby. So we've laid out the keys to the game. JJ, it's time to put our money where our mouth is. Let's talk about some predictions. Final score. What do you got? And just so we're aware, Bills are favored by 6.5 points in this game. And the over-under on this game sits at about 47 points.
I have a 34-24 Bills win. So I think that they cover. I think that they hit the over. And I think that Arizona comes. They might get some extra possessions, but the Bills ultimately win.
I agree. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, though. I think people are going to be surprised by how close it is. I've got Bills 31, Cardinals 28. I think the Bills offense does what it needs to do, but I think we're going to see some growing pains from this Buffalo Bills defense. I think in particular, it's going to be a very start and stop type of first half for the Bills. And we could be looking at a situation where the Cardinals are ahead at halftime. Keon Coleman has a key drop somewhere along the way. And all of a sudden, Bill's Twitter is lamenting that we didn't take Xavier Worthy after his performance on Thursday Night Football. Those are all very real possibilities. But at the end, Josh Allen is simply better than this defense. The scheme and the pieces on this offensive roster are better than this defense. And I believe the Bills will pull it out. So, JJ, I'm also taking the over. There are some very intriguing games in week one. But I think this has the potential, particularly in that 1 p.m. block, to be the shootout game. Even over a game like Jacksonville versus Miami, just because of the way these two teams are so built to take advantage of the opposing defense's weaknesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm here for it. I think that, you know, seeing a 12-9 field goal kicking fest is not something I'm looking forward to after waiting all offseason and preseason to watch Josh Allen sling it to these new weapons.
All right, JJ, I got two props for you to kick off week one, and they're both Josh Allen related. JJ, prop number one, over under 1.5 picks for our beloved Josh Allen. Now, before you give me an answer, this is Josh Allen's cumulative stat line from weeks one, seasons 21, 22, and 2023. 6 total TDs, 5 passing, and 1 rushing. 5 total picks, 3 of which we know came at the hands of the Jets last season. But again, as I mentioned before, 2 coming in that blowout win against LA. So even when they were humming it at their best in week one, Josh still came up with a few key mistakes. JJ, is Josh throwing multiple picks this game for the second, what would be the third straight week one?
No. And I'll tell you why. I think that the departure of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis made the offseason a completely different paradigm for him to shift into. And I think he had to take football a little bit more seriously. He showed up to camp in better shape than he has the last 2 or 3 seasons. He spent more time with his key targets, Dalton Kincaid and some of the other receivers, in the offseason, you know, planning and setting up private workouts. So I think that he has, maybe he has one. I don't think he has more than one interception in this game.
I too am going to take the under. I think he finally, third year is the charm. He bucks the trend of multiple picks in week one. And I think for a couple of reasons. I think we have seen the maturity in his game. We saw his turnover rate go down last year. His turnover rate, you know, it's so weird because there's so many conflicting metrics. His total turnovers are high. Of course, he led the league in interceptions last year. But turnover worthy plays, his turnover rate, given how much he touches the ball and how much of an impact he has on this offense, I mean, they're at historic lows compared to some of the great QBs of all time, like Tom Brady, Dan Marino, Joe Montana, guys who were adverse to throwing picks and adverse to turning the ball over. So, I mean, listen, I know at the end of the year, when you see Josh Allen leading the league in interceptions, I know it can be kind of a bummer. But I also think it's a little bit misleading, especially given the play style that so many of the dominant QBs in the league go into each and every game with, like Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow to a lesser extent. He's about as close to risk adverse as we're probably going to see in this generation.
But I think too, just to kind of add on to that point, people like to look at the interceptions and fumbles, but ignore the fact that he's had the most touchdowns in the league cumulatively every season for the past 3 years.
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. It's high risk, high reward for sure. JJ, prop number two. Will Josh throw for over 300 yards in this game? We both agree it's probably going to be a run-heavy scheme, but we both agree, too, that there's going to be some opportunities to take some shots against this opposing Arizona Cardinals defense. And JJ, 3 years running, Josh Allen has not thrown for 300 yards in week one. 270 in 2021 against the Pittsburgh Steelers, 297 in that awesome beatdown of the LA Rams in 2022, and then 236 in that absolutely devastating week one loss to the Jets last year. So JJ, over under 299.5 yards for Josh Allen.
I'm slapping that under. I don't think this is a big Josh Allen game. I think that Joe Brady, Josh Allen, as you mentioned, his maturity, you know, coming to a new level in this season as he heads in. I think that he has eyes on the MVP, and to get there, he needs to not throw interceptions and play good, smart football and be the best quarterback on a team with some of the most wins in the league. And so to get, because that vote is pretty much cast in week 8 or 9, always every season, like that's pretty much decided before the, you know, long before the playoffs come. And so I think that he's mindful of his statistics. I think Joe Brady is mindful with the scheme and the deficiencies, as you mentioned earlier in the pod. This Arizona Cardinals team can't stop anybody running the football, so I think they're going to try to keep it on the ground, and they're going to attack in different ways.
Yeah, I agree. I'm taking that under as well. I don't think they're going to, if they need Josh Allen to throw 300 yards in this game, something probably went horribly wrong. I would anticipate this is going to be a game plan that'll look very similar to that Dallas game, and even the first three quarters of that Kansas City Chiefs game, where you're going to see Josh spread the ball around, change things up, and mix it in, but really they're going to want to dominate at the line of scrimmage, and they're going to want to control the ball. They're going to want to run this thing. All right, JJ, that's all we got for this preview of the Buffalo Bills and the Arizona Cardinals. We are here, friends. We have made it. It is week one. We did it, team. Congratulations.
We made it to the season.
We made it. And now it is time to ignore our loved ones and families for the next 5 months and totally let the Buffalo Bills dominate how we feel about ourselves day in and day out. For all of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your pods. And as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.